Make no promises that I will talk slow, but I do recognize it's being translated, so I'll try to have some mercy on my dear brother, who I love. Back there, I can't see you, but I know you're there. With that being said, before we dive in the Word of God, I just want to mention, because there is something slightly different from when we were here a few weeks ago, we still have some prayer cards. There might be some back there. I'll make sure they're left there. I brought a few of the podcast cards, so if you're wondering how to tune into the podcast, there's the website on here and just different ways to connect, and that comes out every Monday morning, and it's the book of Exodus, verse by verse. But we have these that just arrived. Actually, somebody else made them, and they're really, it's a neat little tool. So if you are, if you've been praying for us with Bangladesh, or you want to start praying, because as you know, we're moving. It's 10 weeks away. That's crazy. Like, that's very soon. So our flight out is August 29th. It doesn't seem like it's that close, but it really is. Anyway, it's a little prayer card with the other two families that are going with us. So all three families are on it with their names, and then just a little something on Bangladesh. So again, if you just want to like be praying for the whole team by name, we have a few of these team prayer cards, and we'll put them in the back. And I know they would appreciate your prayers. There's also a couple young girls that probably will be, when I say young, that tells you how old I am. I'm 38, but young for me now is like early 20s. So we're not talking young like, you know, 13-year-olds, but young in their early 20s, probably moving with us. We're not officially announcing it yet because we have it 100%, but they're like 95%, and I'm just working it out with their elders. So, Lord willing, we'll have a couple girls going too, and their focus is going to be taking care of our kids during the 4 hours of language study in the morning. We're not just like dishing our kids off to someone else, but that way the moms aren't left behind in the learning language phase. We're still in the same building and whatnot. Also, I want to make one thing, just so it's not a distraction to one person in here, okay? Yes, I'm wearing flip-flops on a Sunday morning where most people are not. If you know me well, you know I do love flip-flops, so it could totally be an excuse what I'm saying. But a couple weeks ago, I like broke something, either my toes, which I think is a couple toes, and part like fractured something in the foot. And you say, I'm just still not sure. It's, but I know I broke something, and it's still swollen a few weeks later and whatnot. And wearing shoes really hurts it. So just forgive me if you're the one that's like, hey, why is he wearing flip flops? Disrespectful. Let's just be done with that. I can walk fine and all, but shoes do affect it. So thank you for your grace. I'm not trying to be like Moses or Joshua taking off my shoes on holy ground. This is a holy place because we are in the presence of the Lord, but as every area of our life ought to be holy. As we go to the Word this morning, there is going to be a connection between this particular meeting, which actually is supposed to end in 12 minutes, so it's a good thing that there's a continuation, because I don't know what I'm going to bring to conclusion in 12 minutes here, but I want us to see this as the introduction for where we're going to go even in the next session together. And please don't let this just be a Sunday morning message. I don't care if you think it's a good message or not a good message, or how many notes you take or how few notes you take. What I do care about is that we leave with concretely what the Lord has for us to leave with. Obedience, that there would be a response to what we're hearing, because I guarantee you there's intended to be a response. So turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, and actually I kind of got to Isaiah 6 in a bit of a backwards way this week, because I was really more meditating on Isaiah 5 due to an upcoming trip to Israel we have, and Isaiah 5 just has some very vivid lessons that you see come out in the land. I'm not going to go be really in Isaiah 5, but I will mention that in Isaiah 5, what is it full of? It's full of curses. So it's you see, woe to these people, woe to these people, woe to these people, and you can see, I think it's six distinct curses that Isaiah is declaring as a prophet. But as we come to Isaiah 6, I really see the Lord taking this prophet and saying, I want you to see what I see, because once you see what I see, then you're going to see the world the way I see the world. And that's my prayer for this morning. And so as we walk through, we're going to see three specific things. I'm not even going to mention those right now. I'm going to mention just one right now. But there are three specific things that if we can get them in order, then I truly believe we will see the world differently. The reality is that when we look at things, we don't see things the same way. I recognize that when I ask Haven, my three-year-old, what she sees in a situation, and she'll distinctly say something that, man, it didn't really even hit my radar. It was very different. When I'm going fishing with with my Bahamian friends. We'll be out in the open ocean. And I mean, I'm just thinking, like, how do you even know, like, where to find fish? And yet they have all these, like, little clues. First of all, they know the reefs. They know what's under the water. They know exactly. But then they're, like, looking for birds and certain kinds of birds. And they know if there's a bird there, then there's a fish under the water. And, I mean, they're looking at the same thing I'm looking at, but they see a very distinctly different result. Same thing when I'm trekking in the desert with my Bedouin friends. And again, they see treasures of the desert, whether it's a certain shrub or a plant and what it can be used for, or a certain rock, or maybe there's animals that are found underneath one of those rocks, and that's going to be our dinner. I don't know. There's all, but they see something completely different, and it opens your eyes, and you're like, wow, I'm missing it. But here's my question. My question is, how are we supposed to see the world? Because if I just say, hey, you know, what do you see in the world today? Like, man, you're going to give me one answer. You'll give me another. I'll give you another. And that's fine. That's our perspective. But here's the thing. We are saturated, and this is sickening, my friends, sickening. We're saturated with the perspectives of mankind. If you turn on your television this last week, if you've gone on the internet, you are full of opinions and opinions and opinions of others. I do not wonder why anxiety is through the roof. I don't wonder why Christians are suffering from depression and discouragement daily. Come on. Why? Because we're choosing to see the world the way the world sees the world. Even Christians who are living in the world choosing to look at the world from their eyes instead of eternity's eyes. Perspective is vital. I want a church that's encouraged. I want a church that's moving forward. Think about it. When the Lord Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me ask you, what are gates for? Are gates for a defensive or offensive action? Defensive. They're defensive. In other words, gates are used to protect. Who's trying to do the protecting? Hell. The gates of hell. What's the point? Who's on the offensive? Jesus Christ. We're not over there sitting like, oh, let's protect ourselves from the world, protect ourselves from the world. No, I'm not protecting myself from the world. I'm moving forward in the grace of God, the gospel of God that saves souls. We're not on defensive, y'all. We're not on defensive. So we're not on defensive. We're not on defensive. So stop playing defense, get on offense and move forward. We should not be cowering in a corner. But you know why? Think about this. We have so much bad news in our world. But just let's go back 50 years. How many of you were alive 50 years ago? Yeah, all right. 50 years ago, you did not absorb the amount of news that you get today. You got world news, but it's probably like on, you know, BBC, VOA. It was like this, like, I grew up with VOA, Voice of America Radio, and shortwave radio, and stuff. And it's just like you get this snippet of 5 minutes, VOA news, bam. And that's the news. Okay, so sure, some things would make the news. The war, Ukraine, Russia would make it, a few other things. But I don't have to read about every gory murder taking place, every like cheating scandal, every this. I didn't get that. Now skip back 100 years or 200 years. You certainly didn't get it. I mean, no internet, no TV. What do you? You started to live in the environment in which you lived. Instead of taking on all the cares and concerns of the whole world upon yourself, we were not even created to do that. It's another reason I believe why the Lord's coming soon. I'm telling you, I just don't know how much more of the world's cares and burdens heaped upon every life that we even survive. Why is suicide shooting through the roof? Well, I don't wonder. I don't lay awake at night wondering. I know why. First of all, for some of you, just turn off your TV and let's look at a better perspective. Maybe cut off, you're like, no, but I need to know what's going on. Don't worry, you'll know. But you have to soak in it? Let's soak where God tells us to soak. And Isaiah just said, cursed, cursed, cursed. He's looking at all the wickedness of the world in Isaiah chapter 5. And now he says, I'm going to give you a better, God says, I'm going to give you a better way. I'm going to give you a new vision. And so that's where we're going to head. We're going to head to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to see something which is going to be refreshing. And this is where we need to start our focus. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read it. Beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let's stop there for right now. We will read the rest of the chapter in the next meeting. Let's pray and just talk for a few minutes. Father, we ask your blessing on this time, even for the next 5 to 7 minutes as we look into who you are. Oh, God, if we had 5 to 7 hours, 5 to 7 days, 5 to 7 centuries, 5 to 7 millennia, it would not be enough to look into who you are. So we're going to take these next few minutes and just be thankful for them. Teach us, change us, conform us, and God, may your Son get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three things I said we're going to look at, and the first one we want to look at now, I'll go and give you all three. We're going to look at sight, insight, and vision. Sight, insight, and vision. But sight is what we want to look at right now because this is primary, and it really is primary. Insight and vision only come because of the sight, but what happens? It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, let's just stop with in the year King Uzziah died. The reason this is so vital in the year that King Uzziah died is recognizing who King Uzziah was and why this is such a huge deal. Well, Uzziah reigned for 52 years. Please put this in the light of, well, Joe Biden's not going to live to be that old, but let's just pretend like he was going to live to be that old. You just do the math, right? Inauguration happened in 2020, 52 years. We're talking 2072. That's a long time. I mean, I can't plan anything, but I certainly would be very surprised if I'm alive in 2072. Now, with that being said, that's one ruler. And what did Uzziah bring? Uzziah brought a stability to the land. He brought economic success. He brought military conquest. This guy brought a sense of peace. False peace at times? Sure. But still, peace. And so, when we read the phrase, in the year that King Uzziah died, what are we supposed to think as a biblical reader and putting ourselves in the context of Isaiah in that day? We're supposed to say, wow, our world is shifting. Something huge is happening. Change is occurring. And I think Janet Paschal, maybe some of you know who Janet Paschal is, Southern Gospel singer, but she has this phrase in one of her songs, everything changes but change. Everything changes but change. And that's exactly right. And here, but when change happens, it can be good, but it can be hard. It's all hard. And here's change happening. But here's what I want you to get. In the year that King Uzziah sitting on the throne. I want you to just encourage you. You can take that first phrase, in the year that King Uzziah died. Put whatever you want in there. In the year that my child ran away from the Lord. In the year that I lost all my wealth when the stock market collapsed, in the year that my mother died, in the year that the doctor said, you have cancer, I don't care, put in whatever you want. You fill in the phrase. Make it as drastic, as intense as you want to make it. The next line in your story is, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. What's the point? The point is, whatever you're going through, understand this. God is on the throne, and he's not up for election. Never is. There are two things, I'm going to leave you these two things during this time. Two things about God we see here. We see that God's alive, first of all, and that God's authoritative. When Uzziah dies, God's still alive. When the things, your dreams die, God's still alive. I want you to understand our God has not changed. Our God has not lost power. Our God is not disinterested. Our God has not shifted whatsoever from who he is. Hebrews 13 reminds us he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever you're going through, I want you to understand God is alive. And not just that, God's authoritative. He's on the throne. He's in a position where he reigns and he has the power. But you might say, well, then why isn't God speaking into, or why isn't God doing something about this or that? Why isn't he putting an end? Just be thankful. Every time you say, why isn't God, fill in the blank, just be thankful that he's not, because he would have damned you a long time ago. You would be in hell. So just be thankful. Whatever you say, why isn't God, stop your phrase. Say, praise God. Praise God. Praise God that his thoughts are not my thoughts and his ways are not my ways, because I'd be out of the picture. God is merciful. That's the answer. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. Who was the longest individual to ever live on planet Earth? It was Methuselah. You can do the math. You got to see when Lamech was born, when Lamech had Noah, and how old Noah was at the year the flood started. And if you do the math, you will find, because the Bible's precise, it will come out to exactly the year the flood started was exactly the year Methuselah died. Exactly. 969. Now, why is that significant? Isn't it interesting that one of the greatest demonstrations of God's wrath, the greatest was at the cross, but one of the greatest demonstrations of God's wrath being poured out, the flood of Noah's day, that the one whose name literally meant that judgment's going to come, Methuselah, isn't it interesting that the one who at his death, it meant that at his death this judgment would come, isn't it interesting that the very one who at his death the judgment would come lived the longest? To me, that tells me God is slow to anger. He's slow to wrath. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so in this next time together as we go, it's after 10:30 already, as we come back to Isaiah 6, we're going to look at these three things. We're going to see sight. We're going to see insight. And we're going to have vision. But our sight's going to be a sight of God. We're going to see, who is this Lord? Who is this one sitting on the throne high and lifted up? And because we see him, what do we see of ourselves? And then when we see ourselves in the light of who he is, what do we do about it? And that's going to be the vision we're going to walk out of here with this morning. And I pray all of our hearts will be challenged and greatly encouraged that we don't have to wallow in the mire of a sick and perverted and dying world. But we can live with our eyes on the one who reigns and invite others to be part of his kingdom forever. Let's pray. Father, this is just an introduction, I know, but you can use what was said because your word was spoken to touch lives. So start with mine. I pray, Lord, for all this day that if I, or if through translation anything is said which is not your mind, I pray that that would not be remembered. But Lord, impress on our hearts the worthiness of Jesus and that you've called us to that which is eternal. I pray we would live for that, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.